Let's do it.
Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray as every Sunday we're here, Lord God, that you just lead us. Help us to enter your worship, Father. Help us to hear your Holy Spirit speak to us, Lord. And help us just to lay everything else down right now, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, when it talks about how you're the father to the orphan, Lord God. And that just, I know it means a lot to probably a lot of us, Lord God, that maybe had an absent parent, whether it be a father or a mother, whether it be someone that left, Lord God, or someone that passed away. Lord God, we know that we can find our family in you, Lord God. You are our father, even better than our earthly father. You are the father that truly just created us, and that's going to be there for us for all eternity, Lord God. Help us to turn to you and turn to your word, Lord God, anytime we need advice. Well, we're at a standstill in life and we don't know where to go or what to do. Lord God, I pray, Father, that we ask you first before anybody, Lord God. We say, Father, I don't know what to do right now. Please guide me. Please show me. And you love us. You're not going to ignore us. You are going to show us, Lord. And help us to have faith and peace in that, Lord.
There's a peace I've come.
Father, I just praise you so much, Lord. For all of us, Lord God, who are just having a hard time, Father, or we just feel the weight of this world, Father, I just pray that we all understand and we all can have that joy to look forward to, that one day it's all going to be gone. We are going to have eternal joy, eternal happiness, Father. And I know that we can't comprehend that right now, but at least, Father, help us to look forward to that. And even though whatever we're going through right now, Lord God, we can just look forward to having eternity with you, Lord God, and not having one tear on our cheek, not understanding at that point what sadness even is, Father. My son, why are you striving? You can't add one thing that's been done for you. I did it all while I was dying. Rest in your faith, my peace will come to you. For when I hear the presence start, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. I see no stain upon you because you are my child and you know me. To me, you're only holy. Nothing that you've done remains, only what you do for me. My child, why are you weeping? You will not have to wait forever. That day and that hour is in my keeping. That day I'll bring you into heaven. But when I hear the prayer, I see no stain upon you because you are my child and you know me. To me, you're only holy. Nothing that you've done remains, only what you do for me. My precious bride, the day is when I'll take you in my arms and hold you. I know there's so many things you've been hearing, but you just hold on to what I've told you. For when I hear the presence start, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart. Stain upon you because you are my child and you know me. To me, you're only holy. Nothing that you've done remains, only what you do for me. Only what you do for me. It's only what you do for me. As a parent, I just love the song. You know, it talks about how we're his precious child. And I think we all know that, you know, as parents, we look at our kids and they make mistakes. And how many of us parents hold things against our kids forever? Well, if we're good parents, we don't. We move on past it. We forgive them. We say, it's okay. You can do better next time. And that's the same way the Father speaks to us. He only wants the best for us. He wants us to learn and to grow and to mature. And sometimes we do make mistakes, but he says, you know what? I'm not going to hold that against you. I want you to move on and learn from it and grow from it and mature from it. Don't stay where you're at. Don't wallow in it, but grow. And the Lord loves us and he forgives us. And he says, from now on, after this mistake, what you do for me, what you do in my name, what you do for others, that's what I'm paying attention to. Father, help us to learn that too, Lord God. Help us to move on from our mistakes. Help us to understand what your forgiveness means and what your love means. And Lord God, as we ask for your forgiveness and we ask for you to forget our sin, Father, help us to do that with others. Help us to forgive and to move on too from past transgressions, Lord God. Father, Lord God, as we are walking through this week, Lord, I just pray that there are going to be things that are to try to drag us down, Lord God. There are going to be things that are going to be distracting us from you, whether it be work or family or just our flesh, Lord God, wanting to do things other than you want us to do, Father. But I pray, Lord God, that you help us have strength. Father, I pray that we just keep our eyes completely on you. Anytime we feel our flesh rising up, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that we just know right away to keep our eyes on you, that we fall to our knees, Lord God, that we get in a quiet spot, that we can do whatever we need to do, Lord God, just to keep our eyes on you and just to battle this world, Lord, because we don't belong to it, Father. We are strangers here, Lord God. We're aliens. Help us to understand how we are separate from that, Lord, that we need to live here, but we're here to spread your word, Lord God. We're not here to be comfortable. We're here to keep our eyes on you and to show others what being set apart means, Lord God. I pray for your strength, Lord God, and we just pray for your Holy Spirit just to speak to us today, Lord. Amen.
Okay, I just realized that I had this mic on the whole time, so unless George is cutting me, you guys were hearing my awful singing over the speakers, so hopefully George cut me that whole time. Well, that's embarrassing. Well, good morning, everybody. We're very glad you're here, and I know that because you're here, the Lord has a word for you, and what that is, well, let's just find out. You know, I really appreciate what Amy was sharing there. You know, I think the Lord would have us. The Lord gave me a verse as we were worshiping, and I just love when he does that. So I always want to have the word close to me. You know, the Lord sometimes just speaks a little verse in my heart and in my mind, and then I just look it up, and it's like, bam! It's like, wow, that's so cool. It just and he spoke this verse. To me, and I'll just share it with you, and maybe it'll bless somebody else. You know, a lot of folks And maybe you're going through a hard time, but he says that, you know, with, regardless of what you're going through, he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's where these jars of clay, right? The Lord is molding us and shaping us, but we have this treasure in us. What is that treasure that's in us? What's the treasure that's in this jar of clay right here? That's the Holy Spirit. Yes. It's the Lord himself. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God bless you. Listen to this, and maybe this is you. We are hard-pressed on every side. Is there any of you here right now that feel hard-pressed on every side? Wow, there's quite a few. We're hard-pressed on every side, but it says, but not crushed, right? We're perplexed. It gets overwhelming sometimes, right? You don't even know what to think, what to do. It's just like, ah, it says we're perplexed. But, that was perplexing. But it says we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair because we have a hope, guys. We have a hope in Jesus Christ now and through eternity. And then he goes on to say we're persecuted, and maybe some of you are experiencing that persecution, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down even. Some of us have been knocked down, and maybe that's you here today. But the Bible says you are not destroyed. A righteous man falls seven times and seven times, or woman falls seven times, they get back up again. Not in our own strength, right? But in the power and the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you something, guys. If it wasn't for the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ working in and through me, oh, I would have called it kaput a long time ago. This world is not so fun after a while, right? But yet we have a hope that works in us and through us, that keeps our eyes, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, it says, keeps your eyes. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I want you, I want you, I want you, you, especially you, and you, to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, just like a laser beam, right? Fixed on Jesus, not on some other person or a church or a denomination. You fix your eyes on Jesus because the Bible says he's the starter of your faith, right? And he's the finisher of your faith. He's going to see you through it. And here's his promise to you. When you feel like you're just drowning, right? It says this, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful promise? You can trust him. He's going to pull you through it. I don't know exactly how. I don't know when. But you can trust in him by faith in Jesus' name. And he will see you through it. Amen? Amen. Okay, sorry. That was a little word that he just spoke to my heart. And I hope that encourages you as well. All right, well, we have a few announcements to go through, and before we start our teaching in the Word today. And so let's get right to it. Okay, again, we've got, you probably saw the bags and bags of bread loaves on the table. Big French baguette loaves of bread. We've probably got about 50 of those. I've got about 200 bagels. They spilled over. There's bags of bagels, fresh bagels from Panera. We put them on the chairs in front of them. Will you please take a lot home. Take them for your family. Take them for your friends. Maybe you have a needy neighbor or a homeless person. Take a bunch home. Desserts. Did you see how many desserts we had? People pay like $5 a piece for those desserts. I don't know how much. We had 100 of them at least. So take them. They're a gift in Jesus' name, okay? Just take them. There's no cost to you. We just want you to have them. Okay, so after the service, go grab some of that. We're not going to take up, we don't take up official tithes and offerings here so that nobody feels coerced or manipulated to give. But God puts it on your heart to give, then wonderful, you should. And it's right back in the back. It's a little bird box that you can put your tithes and offerings. Just want to encourage you to fill out a little name tag to help us get to know one another better here, as there's always new people coming in and out. We're going to take 1 minute to pray for Gary and all the folks over at the Holy Smoke Barbecue. They're doing that today, and it's for benefiting Solve House. So there's a ton of our people there, and I know, I don't even know if I should mention this, I know even Nate was helping out, and you were just even in the ER just I mean,
I'll be glad to share testimony if you want.
You know what? Sure. I don't even know where the mic. Wow. Hey, that's amazing. Why
Sophia
don't you
gets me going here. That's good. Yeah, thank you all. For some that had heard, but for the rest, I had a crazy reaction with an agave plant, which is like some type of cactus-looking scary thing that that normally it looks like it could, you know, really hurt somebody or impale someone if they were ever to fall into this cactus. And for the past year, we've been you know, concerned about the kids maybe hitting it or, you know, somebody backing into it. Well, finally, about a week ago, we Erica and I tore into it, and we both broke out in a rash. But then a week later, a few days later, I came in contact with some of the gloves or the other utensils that we had used to tear this thing out. And I had a secondary reaction. I broke out with hives all over. This was Friday, I guess it was.
Your heart rate dropped.
Well, there was multiple things. I had hives all over my body and really came on incredibly fast. And to the point that we actually called the paramedics, and they came out and they started asking me all these things. I started getting a sensation in my throat that basically it was starting to close off my airway. So I decided to take the ride in, and they pumped me full of all kinds of stuff. But they were very, very supportive of the quick reaction. And so we say continue. Thank God for the timing and for his saving grace that I'm still here today. I mean, you just never know. It just kind of was a wake-up call of how fragile life is.
Yes.
And how fragile, you know, we are, that we could at any moment be gone. So, yeah, it was a stressful time for our family. And, you know, 24, 48 hours later, I'm back to normal. So God be praised.
Praise the Lord.
And it's a miracle. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Appreciate those
Amen.
That prayed. Thank
well,
you.
I'm going to tell you something else. That is amazing. But I'm going to tell you something else that you do not know. Mm. Right before that happened, I got a text from Gary, who's in charge of this whole thing. And like I said, there's tons of our folks out there today serving for Solve House and doing this beef thing. And he just asked, he said, you wouldn't believe, he said, the text, I have it somewhere on my phone, but it says, I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, you wouldn't believe the amount of spiritual warfare that's going on to try to get this thing going. He's like, would you please pray for us? Because the more we're trying to do this, the more the enemy is coming at me. He goes, and I need prayer for this, this, and this. And he specifically, the other person he specifically mentioned was you. And he said, and Nate's supposed to be going out there and doing this. So pray for them. Okay. So we all stopped right. And we just prayed for you and Gary and all the folks that were going out there, but specifically for you two. And then I got the text that, oh my gosh, your throat's closing, you're going to the hospital. I'm thinking, wow. So God was already working and prayers were going up even before that whole thing started. Now, to me, that's just a cool God thing.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's a cool thing.
God be praised.
Amen. Amen. Okay, a couple other things real quick. The Seeker Keeper girls are here. It's a talk on purity, a whole thing on it, and that's coming Tuesday at 6:30 at the Nazarene Church. Tickets are $26. If you have a girl from ages 7 to 12 and you would like to go, Erica Weaver, would you just raise your little hand? If you would like more information, you can see Erica Weaver, and she'd be happy to show that, tell you more about it. Also, Casting Crowns is coming to the Strawberry Festival Tuesday, March 6th at 7:30. And so that, I think the tickets, are about roughly 20 some odd dollars, for tickets for that. And then also the Gaither Vocal Band, for those of us who are more experienced, perhaps. And that's also Tuesday. That's earlier. That's 3:30, on March 6th. And so that's also, available as well. And then the Newsboys are coming to Tampa, on March 23rd at 7 p.m., tickets are, again, about $30 for that as well. So the Newsboys are coming. Okay. Also, we have The Rock and the Rabbi, and that is a musical, and that's coming to Clearwater March 30th. However, March 30th, yes? 31st, okay. I'm good. Okay, I didn't know if I should. Okay. Also, we're also going to have a wedding, a wonderful wedding. Stanley and Leslie are going to be getting married. And so praise the Lord. And just God just wanted, God's just put it on their hearts, and they've been coming and speaking to them that they just really want to honor the Lord, and they want to do more for Him and more in ministry. And so they just want to do that, and that's going to be on the 31st. So I'll be there, and it should be an amazing time. But if you could pray for them, and just God would be working in and through them, and so we're just very excited about that. And so praise the Lord for that as well. And also with Loving Hands, we had a date change. We have Flo. I don't know if she's here or if she's over there or if she's helping with the Solve House. But if you guys don't know, Anthony, her son, is in Loving Hands Ministries. It deals with some substance abuse or addictions, and he's part of that program. So we changed it where he's going to be able to come here to our church on Mother's Day, and so as a special gift. And so, anyway, so if you wrote that date down, we just changed it to Mother's Day. Okay, so let's get into the Word of God. A couple things real quick so I don't forget. Prayer mornings here, Sunday mornings at 9. Youth group, the Transformers meet here 6:30 to 8:30 every single Wednesday. We just went to see Samson, and there was about 20 of us that went. And it was a great, great movie. And so just encourage you guys to see that while it's still in the theaters. And then also Thursday, our barbecue and Bible study here at the church. And, yep, okay. All right, if you would open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. Philemon. Natalie, can I ask you a favor? Would you grab some Bibles? Would you mind grabbing a few? Maybe your sister could help. Yeah, if you just grab a few of these. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. And the girls will bring one right to you. We want to make sure that we're all in the Word of God together. Okay. Now, we just finished up the book of Colossians. It was a short book that took maybe 3 months to get through. About Jesus, the substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Christ. We went through the entire book of Colossians because we want you to know what the Word of God is, what it says in context, because in the end times it says that people are going to turn to what their itching ears want to hear. And so we talked about devoting ourselves to prayer. We talked about devoting ourselves to being watchful people, to being alert people, to being thankful people. We talked about how we are to be ambassadors for Christ as if Christ were making his appeal through us. That's our main job in everything we do and everywhere we go at school or work with our friends is to show people Jesus in our lives. Listen, guys, if we were to be, if God were to save us and that was all there was to it, he would have taken us. We would be gone. But he wants you and me to be a witness. He wants you to be a witness for Jesus to show God's power working in and through a life, especially when things are going wrong, right? Especially then. All right. Thanks. We talked about being salt. God wants us to be salt and light. He wants our conversations to be seasoned with salt, you know, preserving the decay of this world that's going the wrong direction, enhancing the flavor. People want to say, wow, what is it about you? And that thirst, that just it makes people thirsty. When they see Jesus in you, they might not be able to say it, you know, at your work. Josh, they might not even be able to say, I don't know what it is, but I want what you have. Why are you so kind? Why are you so loving? Why are you so patient? Right? Why do you have so much self-control? I wouldn't have reacted that way. It's just this goodness, this mercy that flows from us generally. And not that we don't make mistakes, right? We still do, right? But that's the general thing that flows from us. So now we are in the book of Philemon. Now, the last part of Colossians, it mentioned here in Colossae, it talked about people like a guy by the name of Onesimus that was bringing this letter, and Onesimus was a runaway slave and that had gotten saved by Paul. And so this, I kind of didn't know what letter to do next, and this seemed just like to be the right one to do right after the book of Colossians. And if you notice, it's a very short book. Do you notice that? I mean, there's only about 25 verses. Am I right there? About 25 verses? Okay, so it's, to me, I remember it being the shortest book in the Bible, maybe even with Jude. I think Jude has 25 verses too. But it's the shortest little letter in the Bible. So Paul's writing these letters, and what Paul would do, he was write these letters. He's in prison right now in Rome, and he's writing these letters, right? But and they would be read at the churches, just like in the book of Colossians. But this time, Paul did something different. This is almost like not a letter. It's almost like a postcard. So this wasn't even really meant to be read in all of the churches. I guess the Holy Spirit had a different plan for that. But this was sent specifically to a guy, a brother by the name of Philemon. And he was the person, or some people will say Philemon. I'm going to call him Philemon. You can call him what you want. But this was sent specifically to him. And I'm going to give you, George, do you mind? Yeah, do you mind? People like this the last time I did it, that short little thing that we did. Just put the volume down a bit. Okay. All right, thanks, George. Just a 5-minute video, a little introduction to the book here. People liked it, so we'll try it again.
Paul's letter to Philemon. It was written during one of Paul's many imprisonments, and it's actually his shortest letter in the New Testament, but don't let its size trick you. It's actually one of the most explosive things that Paul ever wrote. Here's the backstory that we can piece together from details within the letter. Philemon was a well-to-do Roman citizen from Colossae, who likely met Paul during his mission in Ephesus, and he became a follower of Jesus. Then later, when Paul's co-worker Epaphras started a Jesus community in Colossae, Philemon became a leader of a church that met in his house. Now, Philemon, like all household patriarchs in the Roman world, owned slaves, one of whom was named Onesimus. And at some point, these two had a serious conflict. Onesimus wronged Philemon in some way. Maybe it was theft, or maybe he cheated him. We don't exactly know. But afterwards, Onesimus ran away. Eventually, Onesimus came to Paul in prison, likely to appeal for help. And in the process, he became a follower of Jesus and then a beloved assistant of Paul. And so Paul finds himself in a very difficult and delicate situation as he writes this letter. He's going to ask Philemon not just to forgive Onesimus and receive him back, but to embrace him as a brother in the Messiah and no longer as a slave. Here's how he does it. Paul opens with a prayer, first praising Philemon and thanking God for the love and faithfulness he's shown to Jesus, to his people. And he then paves the way for his request with this line. I pray that the partnership that springs from your faith may effectively lead you to recognize all the good things at work in us, leading us into the Messiah. Now, a key word here is partnership, or in Greek, koinonia. It means sharing or mutual participation. It's when two or more people receive something together and share in it, becoming partners. Paul's saying that faithfulness to Jesus means recognizing that all of his followers are equal partners who share together in the gift of God's love and grace. And for Paul, this experience of koinonia among Jesus' followers, it's not just an idea that you think about, it's something that you do in your relationships. Which moves Paul on to his request. He finally brings up Onesimus. He says that he's become Paul's child in prison, meaning that Paul led Onesimus to dedicate his life and allegiance to Jesus, and so Paul and Onesimus are now family members in the Messiah. He's been serving Paul faithfully in prison, and even though Paul wants to keep him around, he knows that this unresolved conflict with Philemon has to be reconciled if they say that they're followers of Jesus. Which moves Paul on to his bold request, that Philemon receive Onesimus back, no longer as a slave, but as more than a slave, as a beloved brother in the Lord. Now, this is a really tall order. Under Roman law, Philemon had every legal right to have Onesimus punished or put in prison. And Paul's not only asking him to forgive Onesimus, but to welcome back his former slave into Colossae as a social equal, as a family member. This is way more than kindness. This is unheard of. It's freeing a slave and then treating them like a family member. It upsets the status quo of the Roman social order. Why should Philemon do such a thing? And here Paul pulls a brilliant move. He recalls that key word from the opening prayer. He says, if you're truly a partner with me, it's that Greek word koinonia again, then welcome Onesimus as if he were me. And if he's wronged you or owes you anything, charge it to me and I will repay it. So in this request, we see the heart of Paul's gospel message being acted out. It's first of all about reconciliation. It's just like he told the Corinthians. In the Messiah, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. So in this situation, Paul is putting himself in the place of Jesus. He will absorb the consequences of Onesimus' wrongdoing. He will pay the cost so that he can be reconciled to Philemon. But Paul's message was about more than just a legal transaction. It's also about koinonia. Onesimus and Philemon and Paul are all equals before God. They all share the same need for forgiveness. And so the ground is level before the cross, which means that Philemon and Onesimus can no longer relate to each other as master and slave. They're family members. They're brothers in the Messiah. Or as Paul told Philemon and the whole church of Colossae, in God's new family, people are not Greek or Jewish or circumcised or uncircumcised or foreigners or uncivilized or slave or free, but the Messiah is all and is in all people. Paul closes the letter stating his confidence that Philemon will do even more than Paul's requested, and he asks him to prepare a guest room because he wants to visit as soon as he gets out of prison, and then with some final greetings, Paul ends the letter. Paul's letter to Philemon is powerful for many reasons. It's the only letter where Paul doesn't explicitly mention Jesus' death or resurrection, and this is not an oversight. He doesn't need to explain the cross with words because he's demonstrating it through his actions. Paul's embodying here the meaning of the cross. He has made himself the place through which Onesimus and Philemon are reconciled to God and then to each other. This letter also shows us that the implications of the good news about Jesus, they are extremely personal and never private. The fact that Philemon and Onesimus are now brothers in the Messiah, it makes their master-slave relationship totally irrelevant. The family of Jesus' people is a place where all are equal recipients of God's grace. It's a new kind of society, or a new humanity, as he called it in the letter to the Colossians, where people's value and social status, it's not defined by race or gender or social or economic class. In the Messiah, there are simply new humans who are equal partners who share together in God's healing mercy through Jesus. And that's what Paul's letter to Philemon is all about.
Thanks, George. Now, we won't talk a lot about slaves and masters and the Roman Empire. We talked about that last week, so I won't go into that all over again. But you can listen to it online at homefellowship.com. But I will say this, during this time in Rome, there were about 45 to 60 million slaves. 50% of the known world, the entire population was slaves. And so this was a reality of the life back then. And so this book, this letter to Philemon, is kind of a pleading with Paul to Philemon. And so when I start off the letter, or the postcard, if you will, in verse 1, he starts off with just normal, an introduction. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother. Remember, Paul's imprisoned in Rome here, And it says that he usually starts off his letters with something like a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So here, listen to my letter. But here he's saying, hey, I'm just a prisoner right now. I'm in chains, just like Onesimus was, right? I'm the apostle Paul. Do you know it says in Acts that handkerchiefs from Paul that he just sweated on, you know, headbands or whatever, would actually heal people? That he raised people? We're talking about God endowing Paul with power, and yet he's saying, hey, I'm in chains just like my brother Onesimus. And so we're brothers together. He's kind of starting off like that. You know, we're all one in Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here and you're wealthy or you're poor or you're got a great social class or a great job or you have nothing, can I tell you something? We are all one at the foot of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? Regardless of what you make, what color your skin is, whatever your socioeconomic background is, we are one at the foot of the cross. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And Paul's trying to remind Onesimus, who's probably a bigwig in this city, just a reminder. Now, trying to remind Philemon, hey, don't forget about this. I'm a prisoner just like Onesimus was, okay? And then he goes on, he says, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. And that's what he was. Now, some Bible teachers will say that this whole letter is Paul buttering up this guy Philemon by saying a bunch of nice flowery words to get him to, you know, take back Onesimus. Can I tell you something? I've heard a lot of teachers say that. I think that's garbage. That's trash. You know what? You know why I think that? Because that's what the world would do. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is not going to dishonor the Lord and butter people up or manipulate people into thinking. You know what I'm saying? What he's saying here is true. When he's saying, Paul is saying, hey, our dear friend and fellow worker, he's not telling a lie to get him to think the way he wants him to think. He's telling the truth. He's saying, hey, this, you're a dear friend. You're a brother in the Lord. And I want to talk to you. You're a fellow worker in Jesus Christ. Yes, Hezekiah.
The leaders or something like that, of like when they were trying to like imprison him or something like that, uh-huh, or get him killed, he said to the leader guy, he was like, I will not, you know, do flattery, but, you know, like, I don't remember exactly what it was. You were saying that somewhere in Acts. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, he was like, I will not do flattery, but here's, you know, just
the truth.
Kind of like,
mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Good. I'd forgotten about that, but you're absolutely correct. You go, boy. All right. So he goes to Philemon, my dear friend and fellow worker, okay? And then he says, and to Apphia, our sister. Now that's probably Philemon's wife. We don't know for sure, but probably Philemon's wife. And it was customary during Roman times that the wife would have been in charge of all the servants. So he's including her too. And he's saying, to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier. And if you remember, Archippus, he's probably Philemon's son, and it was in the ministry in Colossae in some way. Because you remember as we finished the book of Colossians? Oh, yeah, by the way, in case you didn't know, Colossians is located in modern-day Turkey. Okay, there's three cities here, Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae. And again, just proving that the Bible is true, they've dug up the ruins here at Laodicea. You can see it actually existed. The Bible proved true again. Here's the Roman theater at Hierapolis. Again, the Bible proved true. They haven't dug up Colossae yet because it's in modern-day Turkey and they're not really so keen on showing the Bible to be true. But that's the tell where Colossae is located and still has yet to be dug up. But anyway, this is what Paul said to Archippus. He said, as he was closing the letter to the book of Colossians, in Colossians 4:17, he says, I want you to tell Archippus this. And I would say, God would say this to you. Tell Nate this. Tell Jim this. Do you know? Tell Debbie Joe this. See to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. Or some of your translations will say, see to it that you complete the ministry that you have in the Lord. God says, I want you to see to it. We live in a time that you can quit anything. Isn't it true? people quit their job, but they quit their hat. They quit relationships at the drop of the hat. They quit whatever they want to quit. You just go somewhere else, right? God's saying, I don't want you to do that. I want you to complete the work you've received. Complete the ministry. Don't run. It's easier to run, isn't it? How many of us don't want to? Can I just be honest with you? I'm a pastor here. Can I tell you there are times where I want to run? Now, maybe not run away from the Lord, but I just want to go and run away where it's a little bit easier, where I'm not hassled about so many things. Do you know what I'm saying? It's life. But God says to me, and he says to you, see to it that you complete the work, the ministry you've received in the Lord. I want you to be faithful to the end. I want to be able to say to you, son, to you, daughter, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that from my Lord. Finish the work. See? So that's Archippus. It's probably his son and probably in ministry there.
Brother
Yes.
I was thinking what Paul is doing in this letter is he's asking Philemon for an enormous favor.
Oh.
And there's a great lesson here. The world makes appeals to us for things, and they have no right to do it. So they do give you a lot of baloney and lies and everything else. Paul has earned the right, really, by his relationship, by his love for this man,
his
by
example.
Their equal.
Yeah.
And God is using him now, not to make this appeal to him would have been wrong.
Yeah.
But he has a right, and we have to earn the right.
Yes.
I think with people, like you have the right to come to us and ask favors because of your ministry and your service and your faithfulness to Christ. And that's a great lesson in this small epistle that's so loaded.
Yeah.
Is, you know, this is a lesson on asking somebody for an enormous sacrifice.
Yes.
And he's earned the right to do it. So there's no baloney involved.
Right.
This is where God has placed him in their
yes.
friendship.
Yes, that's good. And you know, there is for those of you who don't know, these are called tracts, okay? Right here. Which church saves, for example, is this one. And of course, it says, no church saves, Jesus saves, just so you know. And so these are tracts. And somebody said something one time to me that stuck in my melon. Because sometimes there'd be Christians handing out these things that were jerky. And somebody said this, hey, he said, don't show me your tracts until I see your tracks. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, hey, show me your tracks when you show me a witness. Like when you're walking it out, right? You don't leave one of these at the restaurant when you're leaving a 2% tip and you've been a jerk. Oh, let me tell you all about my Lord and Savior, the generous Jesus. You were a jerk the whole time. What is this? Peh. Do you know what I'm saying? We have to earn the right. What he's saying is right dead on. All right, let's continue on. He's talking about Archippus, right? He's telling him to finish the work. He says, he calls him our fellow soldier, and I love this. You know, he calls him a soldier, you know, and I don't know if we've had anybody here. I know that we've had some folks here who have had active duty, okay, as a soldier, okay? Now, here's what I would, after talking with some, I've not done it myself, you are very much aware of what's going on. If you're in enemy territory or if you're under fire, I remember I've not been exactly in that situation. But if you're on guard duty and you know the enemy's coming from you, you're not going to be watching YouTube videos for an hour. Do you know what I'm saying? You're going to be alert. You're going to be aware. You're going to know what's going on. I remember one time I was in Israel, in Jerusalem, and I was walking by myself, backpacking, up on the gates of Jerusalem, up on the walls. And I remember very distinctly hearing thunder. You know, hearing, you know, and then, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And I'm looking around, just sitting there enjoying it, thinking of the Lord. And then I'm hearing it more and more. Boom. And then after about 5 minutes of it, I'm thinking, wow, that's really a lot. But I'm not seeing the lightning. How weird is that? You know? And then at about that time, I saw like F-16s, and it was during a time of an intifada, which was an uprising at the time. So what I was hearing, what I was thinking was lightning, you know, that was machine gun fire, bombs going off, car bombs, them dropping bombs. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know. So, you know, while we were there, you know, there were car bombs that went off, and so I'm thinking, oh no, and I'm thinking, I've walked here, I'm out in the middle of, I've got to get back. So I start walking. You know, dumb tourist, I don't know where I'm walking. I just know the hotel's over there. The quickest way seems to be from here to there. I need to beeline it. And what I didn't know was that I was right in front of a school that was letting out. I don't even know if I should say it. Lord, no. Okay. So anyway, it was a school that when these students, these teenagers, you come out, oh, it's a bunch of teenagers. But when you get 30, they were screaming mad. And I don't know, I've got the Italian nose. So it looks a little... So I'm backpacking. I'm going right in front of that school as they're letting out as the bomb. And there, all of a sudden, there's like 30 people surrounding me. They're screaming at me. They're just... You know, just like that. And I'm thinking, let me tell you, I've never been so aware in my life. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, but it's almost like it's like slow-mo. You're like seeing things. I see off in the distance, I see a police station. And I thought, maybe if I dropped the backpack and just sprinted, maybe I could shake them off, you know, and maybe make it to the door. You know, it's far enough away, but maybe I can beat him there, because it was just, it was very violent. And then one Arabic man just did something. He said something really quickly. I don't even know what he said, because, you know, it was in Arabic. He said something real quick, and it just caused them all to stop for just a second. And it was almost like I just went, you know, I mean, it's just like I never moved. So I was so aware. And zoom, I was off. And that was just the few seconds that I needed before they all started going again. But by then I was just like, gone. I was out of that. But that's, in a sense, what Paul's saying. Archibus, I want you to be a soldier. And Paul says the same thing to us about being a soldier. And he says this. Let me get this next slide out. Hopefully I have it. Thanks. Thomas, you're right on point, buddy. Good job. You know, and Paul says the same thing to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. He's reminding us as Christians of the same thing. He's reminding us that, you know what? Sometimes we're in America and we think we're in a playground, right? This is just a playtime. But it's not a playground. It's a battleground. Listen, you've got an enemy that is fierce and wants to kill you, capture you, destroy you. That's Satan and his demons. He wants you down for the count so that you won't be a witness, an ambassador for him. He just wants you to give up. He wants you just to not work hard. He wants you just to throw in the towel, right? He wants you not paying attention, being watchful, prayerful, right? That's what his goal is. And Paul's reminding us of the same thing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, he says, I want you to share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So if you're going through hard times, you're going through suffering, you know, persecution, slander, whatever. Let me tell you, Jesus went through the same thing as you. And he says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Who enlisted you to God's service? Who's the one? Who called you into service? Did Jesus not call you into service? So who do you serve? Are you getting your instructions from him? Are you calling out to him? Are you paying attention to him? I can't make you do that. You know, are you sleeping when you should be at watching? Are you paying attention to what your commander-in-chief is saying to you? Are you focusing your eyes on him, on his word, his instructions? You know? All right, let's continue on in Philemon. He says to our fellow archivist, our fellow soldier in verse 2, and to the church that meets in his home. Now, just so you guys know, Christianity had like zero political clout back then, and so they couldn't meet in a building. So they would meet in people's homes. And we kind of like that environment here. It's a little bit more homey. We're a bigger building, but we still want to keep it homey where people can share and say things like that. But people would meet in their homes, like Philemon's home here in Colossae, or if you remember from last week, Nympha's home in Laodicea, they would meet there. And he goes on to say, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice that when Paul writes this, whenever he writes, he always puts grace before peace. Because God's grace always comes before God's peace. Always. Now, God's grace is his unmerited favor. It's his act of mercy, his clemency, his pardon. It's an unmerited gift that he's given you. And so he's saying, I want God's grace to be upon you. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, it is by grace that you have been saved, by faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. Our sin, as best as we can possibly be, there's a chasm in between our sin and a holy God that no one can jump across. That's where God's grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, comes in. See, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ bridges that gap to a holy God. It's Jesus. It's by grace that we've been saved. And when we are saved by God's grace, well, then we have the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Now, no Jesus, no peace in your life. Yet if you know Jesus, you're going to know peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that goes with you wherever you go. Sue, can we bring back the microphone to you? Thank you so much. Thank you.
I think the word grace has a twofold meaning, and you just described the first. The second is God's energy to do what he asks us to do. When we know that there is something that God wants us to do, it's his grace and energy that actually enables us to do it. So I think Paul is also here saying, grace be with you. You know, he's going to ask Onesimus to do something difficult, but he's also saying, you know, God can do it through you with his grace, his energy, if you just surrender.
Yes, excellent. Didn't think about that, but that is absolutely right. And when we talk about God's grace, we have peace with God, and then we have peace from God. You know, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that's in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Then he goes on to say, and I love this, he's like thanking. In verse 4, he says, I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers. Can I ask you something? Don't answer it, but look around you. And Paul's saying, I'm always thanking God when I remember you. Do you remember your brothers and sisters when you look around here? Do you thank the Lord for them? You know, I just want to say thank you. Sometimes you get so involved in your problems, you know what I mean? You're forgetting to thank people. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do for the Lord, for how you love the Lord and serve the Lord. But you should be thanking, praying for one another. God's asking you to do that in the body, right? He says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. And then he says, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus. And I have to ask myself that. Do people hear about my faith? Do they know? Do they see my tracks? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not just saying, oh, they hear about my faith. Oh, I love Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I wear the t-shirt. You know, look at my bumper sticker. Those things are fine. Don't get me wrong. If you have a Christian t-shirt, wonderful. If you have a bumper sticker, wonderful. But you better make sure that bumper sticker matches what's going on in your heart. Right? I want people to hear about your faith. He says, I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love you have for all the saints. Man, we are supposed to be known for our love. By our love, all people will know that we are his disciples, the Lord says. And by our faith, you know, faith is so important. You know, you're not going to grow without faith. You're not. You have to have faith to trust God in his promises, right? You have to have faith to come to Jesus in the first place, right? But you need faith every day, don't you? When things are down, right, and God says to do this, like what he's going to ask Onesimus, if God is telling you something, here's what his word says. I don't want to do it, Lord. I can't do it. I can think of a million reasons why. And God is going to say, I want you to trust me anyway, Josh. I want you to trust me anyway, Teresa. Sue, I want you to trust me in this situation, in this problem, in this relationship. Trust me. Trust, do it the way I say it to do, not the way your flesh says it. In Ephesians 3, 16 to 17, he says, I pray out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the grace, that's the power through faith as we trust in him. And he goes on to say, I've also heard about your love for all the saints. Now, I'm gonna go one here. Oh, there's another faith one. Sorry. Oh, that's the same one. I made that one better. Galatians 5:6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And then in Corinthians 13:1-3, I know of people with lots of Bible knowledge, but there's not a lot of love coming from them. And in Corinthians 13:1-3, he says, and actually he starts off in chapter 12 in the last part, he says, now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. You know, some people are like, well, I have the gift of tongues. Well, I have the gift of prophecy. Well, I can fathom all mysteries and I have all knowledge. I know all these Bible verses by heart and I know the Greek and the Hebrew. But listen to what he's saying here. If I speak in the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It just makes noise. Shut up, right? If we had a drum set here, I was going to just bang on it for a minute. You know, it's just been annoying. Kind of like I'm being right now. But you know what I'm saying. He goes on to say, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, not even some, and if I have all knowledge, and listen to this, if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, what does the Bible say you are? I am nothing. Now listen to this one. If I give all I possess to the poor, not some, everything you have. If I give everything I have to the poor and surrender my body to be, I'll be burned at the stake. But I don't have love. I'm a bitter, angry, unforgiving person. Even though God has forgiven me so much. I gain nothing. How important is love in our life? Lord, help me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. He goes on to say this in verse 6. He goes, I pray. Some of your translations will say things a little bit differently. So hopefully I'll have a... I can't remember if I put a slide up for this one. We'll see in a minute. I don't see it in my little print off. But he says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. And that there's that word koinonia. That means generosity, fellowship, partnership of your faith. So that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You're my partner in this. I want you to be active in sharing your faith. Are you active in sharing your faith? You know, sometimes that can be a little scary. You know, I like how the ESV says it too. Because I pray that your partnership, that koinonia with us in the faith, may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share, we have in Christ. But are you active in that koinonia in your faith, in that fellowship, in partnering? You know what? We offer tons of stuff to help you with that. Listen, if you don't even know, sometimes it gets scary, right? You don't know exactly what to say, you know, what to do. You feel like, hey, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. Ah! You know, oh no, here another Jesus freak. Great. You might not even know what to do, but here's something you can do. Okay? If you've developed a relationship, they've seen something in you, you could just say, here, this is a little something that's called by, from Billy Graham Evangelical Association. This is My Heart, Christ's Home. Here, can I give you this just to read it? It's just a gift in Jesus' name. Okay, you can throw it away. You can do whatever you want with it. I just want to give it to you. You could do that, couldn't you? I've got stacks of these, free. Why don't you put one in your purse, put one in your truck, put one in your wallet. Next time you go out somewhere, is it going to, just give it to somebody. Are you active? Here's some tracks. I don't know if you've seen these. I've showed you earlier. Here's a bunch of tracks. Tons of them. If We Never Meet Again, for teens, God Allows U-Turns, you name it, Father's Love Letter. Grab some. They're free. They're to help you to share your faith. You could fold one of these in half. I'll never forget this. Okay, this is before I was married, I think. I hope. This is before I was married, but I'll never forget this. Or I was very young in the Lord, right? Maybe dating at the time. And I'll never forget. I was at a gas station. And I'll remember forget this. This girl, she was filling up her car ahead of me. And I was like a baby Christian. I remember that. And she came up to me and she said, hi. I said, hi. I'm just filling up the gas. She's like, do you mind if I give you something? And I'm like, sure. You know, she had this little folded piece of paper. And she's like, just maybe something you can read later. I said, well, of course, I'm thinking, well, obviously she's into me. You know, yep. When you got it, you got it. Pumping gas, you know, it was probably the biceps. You know, just like pumping that gas. And anyway, so she's like, bye. I'm like, bye. I don't even know where I was at, you know. So she drove away. I'm thinking, coming back, thinking, yep, I'm the man. Yep, yep. And it's all about Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Right. Her heart was in the right spot. She was sharing her faith. You can take these for free. And you know what? If we run out, we'll give you more. Now, we need to be active in sharing your faith, because here's what's going to happen. If you're not active in sharing your faith, have you ever eaten a Thanksgiving dinner? If you have an Italian home, let me tell you something. Here's what happens right afterwards. You're like this, and maybe you'll unbutton the first button of your pants. I'm not going to do that. No worries here. But you just sit and then you fall asleep, right? If all you're doing is eating and taking it in, you become fat and slothful and lazy. There's no faith involved there. There's no challenge involved there. God is saying, I want you to be active in sharing your faith. I'm losing stuff. Oh, he's going off book. Okay, so... And here's the thing, too. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So it's almost like, you know, you're filling somebody up. Now, whether that means a testimony from you, a scripture from you, a track from you. Hey, you know what? Maybe you're not even into that. We've got DVDs. Look, stacks of them, about 30 minutes long. Okay, My Hope, all right, 30 minutes DVD. Maybe somebody wants to watch something. You know, can I ask you something? Who has the mic? Would you bring that mic over to Joel? Joel, I'm going to put you on the spot. I know you don't like talking. Joel, you've been a missionary for 100 years. That's about 30 years, right, on the field? Oh, I think I got him mad with that one. But anyway, Joel, you just watched one of these, didn't you? These DVDs?
Yes.
Okay, can I ask you? Now I'm nervous. Can I just say, what did you think of that DVD? Do you mind sharing it?
It was a DVD that Franklin Graham put out.
Yes.
And we watched it, and I thought it was excellent.
Interesting.
Everybody needs to watch it.
Well, listen, here's the deal. You can take it home. You can watch it. And then you can give it away. And you know what? You don't have to be like, you need to watch this, sinner. We're all sinners, right? How about you just, you can say, listen, here, would you just watch this? Just give me your opinion on it. And if you don't like it, just tell me you don't like it. And you know what? If they come back to you and say, I hated it. I wasted 30 minutes of my life. Okay, thanks. I really appreciate you watching it. Now, isn't that a better witness than, what kind of a sinner are you? Do you see how well this was made? I went out of my time. I'm being active and sharing my faith just like the pastor said. No, you just say, okay, thank you. I had somebody do that to me one time. I asked them, I said, would you mind just watching this and let me know? I just want you to be honest with me. That's all I want. And they came back and they said, I hated it. I thought it was dumb. It was boring. I said, okay, I really appreciate you watching it. He's like, now you know I didn't find it boring, and you know I've just seen what your reaction would be. I said, oh, okay. It's like, I really loved it. It really actually spoke to me. I was like, okay, great. That's wonderful. And so it just opened up conversation. Be active. These are free for you in Jesus' name. Be active in sharing your faith. Now here, this is, oh, you already know. Here's Evangelism Simplified, okay? We've got a little course that we do. It's a four-week course. It's very helpful. We'll do it probably later this year. But here it is, Evangelism Simplified. You've got 100 different ways to evangelize and books and studies. And here it is. Tell somebody. Just tell somebody what God's done in your life. Look where you've been and where you've come from. It's Jesus who's done that. This is in Romans, in the book of Romans. He says in chapter 10, I think it's 14 off the top of my head, but he says, how can they call on him, Jesus, to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And then it goes on to say, and how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? Just tell them. Just talk. Open your mouth. It's not even something that you can fail in. Look, then it goes on to say, Romans 10:15, okay, you got beautiful feet. Romans 10:15 says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Listen, people are going to hell, and God is saying, you have the answer. You know you have the answer. The only reason you're not sharing the answer is because you're scared, and I get it, but you don't want to be looked at as the outcast or whatever. Well, isn't that a little selfish of you or of me? I'll just make it me. You're not sharing because you don't want to be attacked or whatever. So you're just going to let them go off to eternity without Jesus? Maybe that's a little selfish on my part. You can change the world by bringing one. Who do you think? Somebody had to bring D.L. Moody to Christ. Somebody had to bring Billy Graham. Wonderful evangelist. God used him mightily. I went to see him in Tampa. I was going to say not too long ago, but it was probably 10, 20 years ago now I think about it. But anyway, it was a while ago now. And my mom got saved there. My mom got saved there. Now, I told her the gospel a million times, but somehow when he said it, it just all made sense. That's okay. Praise the Lord, she got saved. Right? But somebody had to bring the gospel to Billy Graham. I don't know who it is. Maybe you do. Most people don't. It just took one person just telling somebody. Dave.
You know, the thing is, he's not interested. He takes it, and then when you ask him later, how was it? And he said, lousy. But he watched it, or else he wouldn't be able to express his opinion. So
yes.
That's
exactly right. We know God's word won't return void. Here's what he says. Listen, not everybody is going to receive the gospel. In fact, most won't. So here's the deal. I don't like it, but God knows the hearts of men. I don't. But John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and I'll raise them up in the last day. So you really can't fail at this. All you have to do is present. The only way you can fail is by not speaking. Because he promises he'll work all things to the good, right? So even if you screw it up, like I get scared, you don't know the right scripture. What if I say something dumb, right? But you can't mess it up. Because if God's drawing them, then even if you blow it, God's still going to use that to bring you to himself. The only way you can fail is by not speaking. Jesus told them in Mark 16, 15 to 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the good news to most people. No, he said to everyone. And anyone who believes will be saved. And anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. That's not my words. That's God's word. All right, well, let's finish out this little letter real quick. He goes on to say this in verse 7. He says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saint. And that word in Greek is anapao, and that just means you've given me rest. You've given me refreshment. It's the exact same verse as this one in Matthew 11, 28, where Jesus said, it's the same Greek word, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. He's saying that, man, just being around you is an encouragement to me. And if you're a Christian, that's how you should be to other people. He goes on to say, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. He's like, man, I'm an apostle. I could do that, but I'm not going to lord it over you like some people do. You know, Jesus said in Mark 10, 42 and 45, to his disciples, he said, you know, the rulers of this world lord it over their people and officials flaunt their authority. I'm an apostle. Yes, sir, I'm the pastor. Do what I say. But I don't believe as I look around, there's anybody in here that I've demanded anyone in here to do ministry. I've demanded that you do this. I've commanded you to do this as your pastor. I look around because that's not the Lord's heart in it. He says, but among you, it will be different. You know, it should be different because we're serving one another. He goes on to say, verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. So obviously Paul led him to the Lord while he was in prison. And formerly he was useless to you, but now he's become useful to both you and me. Now that he's a believer, man, things are different. He used to steal from you, rebel from you, run away from you. He was useless, but now he's useful. And it's a play on words because you know what Onesimus means in Greek? Useful. He's saying now he's really useful. He's born again. He's like, so now in verse 12, he's like, I'm sending him back to you. Now, that would be scary because you know what? As a slave, he could have had him killed, Philemon. He could have had him killed, tortured. They could brand them with an F right in their fugitora, I think, an F for a fugitive. They could do whatever they want. They were considered property. He says, I'm sending him back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do for me will be spontaneous and not forced. And then he says, hey, perhaps the reason, in verse 15, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother. So, if you consider me a partner, like the same word, koinonia, we used it before, welcome him. If you consider me a real brother in the Lord, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done anything wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. He goes, I'll pay it back. I like how he kind of throws this one in there. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. Don't even think about that. You're only saved because of me. Don't even worry about that. Yeah.
It's interesting that Onesimus runs away.
Yes.
He's been a slave. He took a bunch of money and he goes far away. He goes to Rome. He's got to live it up now. He's got a good life.
Oh, you get lost in the big city.
Oh. I just got a light from heaven.
Yeah.
But
But here he's drawn. He remembers this Apostle Paul, who had been in the house. You know, it shows that, you know, Paul's treatment of this slave when he was there, and whatever he heard, maybe yeah. Paul didn't think he was listening, or the,
yeah.
but something must have touched him.
Yes.
He gets to Rome, and he looks up this Paul in prayer in prison. He's troubled. He's free, but he's troubled. And so there's something in the relationship that Paul had with this slave.
Yeah.
Just being friendly, being warm, being genuine.
Being a witness,
He seeks him out. Here he's free, but he's troubled.
Yes.
And he's in bondage.
Yes.
And it's just amazing how our relationships are used by God. Whatever you plant along the way, not just leaving a track, but the tracks we leave with people.
Yes. Amen. And then he closes with this. He goes in verse 20, he goes, I do wish, my brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. I'm confident of your obedience as I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And then he says, one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you and answer my prayers. And I'm coming, so get ready for me. I'm going to be out of this prison, which he did end up getting. And then he goes on with the greetings. I won't go into the people. We talked about him last week. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He started the church in Colossae. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now, here's the thing, guys, as we're going, Martin Luther said we're all God's Onesimus. Do you know what I'm saying? We were all in bondage. We were all in prison. We were all a prisoner, right? The Bible says this. Listen to this. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. You might, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, you might think you're free, but you're a slave. You can't help but do what the enemy wants you to do. You're in bondage to that. And a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. That's where we all were. Maybe we'd think about that. You were an Onesimus. Maybe you stole God's glory, or you stole God's money. Read about that in Malachi chapter 3. You know, you weren't doing what God wanted you to do. You were stealing his time. You were all a thief, a runaway, a rebellion in some way. I was too. We were all God's Onesimus, but Jesus breaks those chains. And just like Paul is saying right there, it says in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. He's given you freedom. You are now an adopted son, an adopted daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of all the universe. Do you deserve this? No, but he's given it to you because he loves you. Now, we all have a testimony. We don't have time for it. But I just want you to think about it in your heart. What are the chains of sin he has broken you free from? Think about it. I can list a bunch in my heart right now. The chains that Jesus has broken in my heart and in my life. Now listen, if some of you are still have some of those chains, which we hold on to, will you ask God? Remember, that same resurrection power that rose Christ from the dead lives in you. Would you ask him to do whatever it takes to break those chains so that your tracks will match these tracks that Jesus is giving and sharing? I'm going to leave you with this. This is a picture of the Judean wilderness, okay, over in Israel. If you go out there, it's just nothing. It's dry. It's brittle. It's dead. There's like nothing green. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like the world we live in. Now this, doesn't this look amazingly beautiful? Now this is what the world has to offer you. Now it looks beautiful, doesn't it? However, if you go in that water, your skin is going to burn. See, because this is the Dead Sea. So, yeah, I don't know why I tasted it. You know, I'm like a tasty, I got a touch taste. So you swim in it. I mean, after a few minutes, my skin, there's so much salt in it, it burned. It started to disgust. First, it was so fun because I was floating in it, you know, because you can't really even see, you just float, holds you up. I'm like, hey, this is pretty great. And then I'm like, ow, ow. I had to shower off for about 15 minutes. My skin all was burning all over. You taste it. It tastes like oil. It stays in your mouth for days. It's disgusting taste. But here it looks so beautiful. This is what the world has to offer people. It'll look beautiful, and everybody will be attracted to it, but in the end, it's going to burn them. It's going to taste despicable to them. But see, you have something different. If you are born again, Jesus said this too, and this is from the Jordan River. I think it's at the mouth of it, flowing out. And it's not dead, it's living water. It's flowing, it's moving, it's active, right? Be active in sharing your faith. John 7:37 says, this is Jesus, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his or her heart will flow rivers of living water. That's what the Lord wants you to do. And so if you're here today and you're stagnant, right? Ask God to stir up your faith. Ask God to have the living water flow out of you to other people. Ask God to do whatever it takes in your life so that you will splash over God's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Ask him to wash over other people with your Holy Spirit. It's not from you. They don't need you. They need Jesus. Ask him, God, whatever is holding me back, will you please remove it? So that water can flow freely. If it's dammed up with something, with unforgiveness or anger or lust or pornography or what you name it, ask that he would just break that dam in Jesus' name. And that you would let that river flow. So that you can be free and be a useful servant for Jesus Christ. Just like Onesimus. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the love that you have for us, Lord God. I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I'm just so thankful that you speak to your people. I'm asking, Lord. And I don't know if you're speaking to 5 people or 50 people or whatever, Lord. I just pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to your people right now. That you want them to step up by faith and be active in sharing their faith, Lord God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, if there's anybody bound up with any chains, that you would release them free in Jesus' name, Lord. And as a testimony to you, that they would give you praise and glory. Just like Nate, Lord, even just being alive here today, was just thanking you, Lord. We're praying in advance for the work that you're doing out there at the Gamble Mansion for Solve. We're praying for you to do exceedingly abundantly more in each person's life, Lord, that we would be able to hear of each person's faith in the Lord. Lord, that their love would overflow, Lord God, that their faith would overflow. We'd hear about it and be encouraged by it, Lord. We ask your blessing to be upon this group and this body, Lord God, that you do whatever you need to do, Lord, to make us more like you so that we can be that good witness for you. And that goodness and mercy will flow in the lives around us all the days of our lives, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So bless your people right now. And we ask these things in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week. And please take lots of bread home with you as a gift in Jesus' name.